All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Okay, I'm going to explain what you're watching right now. The whole country is glued to this. The Democrats are lying. They're lying their rear ends off to get the people in the streets and foment violence. And this is what is going on, okay? Talked about this 2 days ago now in my Battleground America podcast. If you want to understand what's going on, you listen to that, you'll understand. I've been warning for months that it was unknown whether Republicans could actually walk into federal agencies and take control of them. These are weaponized agencies that have become untethered from congressional management. Their position in agency after agency after agency, Lee, is that Trump is a fascist. He's Hitler Nazi, and we're just simply not going to listen to him. We will continue reporting to the Democrats, answering to Barack Obama and his minions, regardless of whether Republicans are elected. And I said it is unknown if Trump can wrest control of these agencies from the Democrats. It's like an agency like USAID. 97% of the donations from USAID employees are to Democrats, okay? These people answer to Democrats. We just had that poll done by Rasmussen. 46% of federal managers, that's who they surveyed, said they would not obey an order from Donald Trump, even if it was a lawful order, if they just didn't like it. So this is a full-on rebellion. It is a coup that's been effected, really going back to the Obama regime, over our federal agencies. The question that I said, folks, a lot of Americans, they're watching politics now. They're not super savvy about it. They think Trump could just take over the federal government. No. The first fight would be, can he control these agencies? In his last administration, Trump nearly went to prison for 700 years because he failed to gain control of the FBI and of the Department of Injustice. Failed utterly to gain control. So what you're watching right now is a Trump who understands, and mark my words about this, if he fails again, he will spend the rest of his life in prison. They will come for him the moment his term ends. The Supreme Court has said he has immunity from prosecution while he is the president. They will come for him. They will come for Elon Musk. They will put him in prison on the most trumped up of charges. They know they can do it with a blue jury. It's already been demonstrated. 34 felony convictions. You get them before a liberal jury, it will convict because they are so misinformed. Okay, so these are the stakes. It's not just about can we regain control of our government? Because if we fail, we fail. We're going to lose the country. This thing's on the razor's edge. I have so many people texting me, we're winning. No, we're not. We haven't won yet. Yeah, Trump's showing up. No, he hasn't won yet. So what you're watching, and I said it's hand-to-hand combat, literally is, in some of these agencies. You're watching Trump trying to take control of them. So let's go basic. USAID. Let's tell the actual story of that, not the lies the Democrats are telling, but the actual story. Last week, Trump gave USAID, $40 billion agency that does the bidding of the CIA and the State Department, or is supposed to, he gave them a chance. He said, we're going to freeze foreign aid right now so I can review what's going on. Now, in the charter of USAID, it is very specific. They are given a massive chunk of money not designated for programs. Why? The purpose of the agency is for the president to use that money as he needs to affect his foreign policy. And it's always been this way. So USAID took the position, because it's run by radical Marxists who answer to Obama, just don't like Trump. No, we're sorry, not listening to you. We're going to continue making grants to Al-Qaeda, $9 million we found so far, by the way, for them. We're going to continue funding the Hamas terror group's war against Israel. Where, by the way, we're now up to $3.4 billion for that, Lee. So if you're wondering how Hamas has managed to fight Israel, well, you paid for it.
Actually, USAID paid for it with your money. This is why Trump insisted on freezing the payments. And this is why when USAID employees refused, he put 50 of them on leave, and then he sent in an Elon Musk crew. This was in direct response to them defying him.
They said, no, we're going to continue making our own foreign policy. We'll go on answering to Barack Obama. Screw you. That was last week. So he gave them a chance to answer to him. He did. He gave them a chance to do the right thing, as he should have. They said no. He immediately took 50 of them, a lot of the top managers, and sidelined them. Put them on administrative leave. Didn't stop. So he said, okay, all right. He has to take control of this agency. He must. Because you know what this is? This is when Trump and us walk up to the bully in the schoolyard and say it's got to end, and you punch him in the face. We're all standing here holding our breaths to find out what happens next. What will the bully do? That is where we are. We haven't won anything. This is a desperate fight we are in. If we think we've won, we've already lost. Trump gets this, though, and that's the good thing. So does Elon. So what does Trump have to do? What's the first actual thing he has to do to take control of this agency? He's got to figure out, whether it's USAID or the government in general, the Treasury Department, what are they spending money on? You think this would be a simple thing. America's probably assumed Trump knows this. He's a president. He doesn't. He can't. Keep in mind, the Republican leadership has bowed so much to these Democrats that all these agencies now take the position, we don't even report to Congress. Republicans can't get squat on the Trump assassinations. They asked for 33,000 pages. They got zero. Zero. They only know what little they know about the Trump assassinations, the Republicans who are trying to do oversight, through whistleblowers. So Trump is in that same position, understand. He's needs whistleblowers to tell him what the federal government's going to spend money on. You can't run a government that way. You can't do it. He's got to find out what they're spending money on to shut it down. How do you do that? Well, the people who work there, whether it's the Treasury Department or the IRS, they're not going to help. The top guy at the Treasury Department refused to let Elon Musk into the system, refused to let those Trump has deputized and sent in into the system, said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to resign first. They said, okay. Well, how do you access the system? How do you know where to find this stuff? Bureaucrats aren't going to help you. They're all Democrats and Marxists. These are captured agencies. Well, you put together a team of the world's foremost software experts, and you walk in there and figure out how to get the information so you can run the government. That's the fight right now. Trump can't do even the basics of running this government if he does not know what it is doing. So, with an executive order, as is his right, he deputized Elon Musk and the software engineers. So they have to go in there and figure this out because they're not going to get any help from these bureaucrats. They're not going to be able to find the stuff. He said, okay, go get it. So they are walking in, Lee, and getting information from the payments system because they do not believe the budget documents. Elon Musk has already tweeted, we are finding that every hour, not once or twice, every hour, these bureaucrats inside the Treasury are committing fraud. They are funding fraudulent organizations. They are breaking the law. They are funding people that Congress did not authorize. They are funding terrorist organizations. You think they're going to let us in the system? Oh, heck no. So this is a literal physical struggle for Trump to simply find out what programs are being spent on. Where is the money going so he can stop it? He cannot stop it if he cannot get that information. And that's it. That's all that's happening right now. So he turns to Elon. Elon says, yeah, I'll put together a crew of the best software engineers on earth, and we will go in. We will crack the code. We will figure it out. We will figure out what the money is spent on. Lee, this, all this information is the most basic free information. It is covered by our Freedom of Information Act laws. I should be able to go in there if I want and get a printout right now when it opens. you, me, anybody down the street should be able to file a FOIA request. We should not. We shouldn't even have to. It should be online. Think about this for a minute. Okay, here in Greenville, let's say, here in the upstate, your mayor, your whatever, county commission. Suppose you went to the county commission meeting, they stopped you at the door, and they said, no, you can't know what the government spends money on. Come again? You're not allowed to know what we're spending money on. Go away. Huh? Nobody would put up with that. That would be crazy. That's what the Democrats are demanding, Lee.
Yep.
What do you make of all this? I hope we have got to win this. We have punched the bully in the face. And we better win that schoolyard fight right now. Or he's not going to be able to take control of the government. That's what's at stake.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, and I complimented you on this yesterday because this is exactly how this is done. This is hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
I mean, it is almost to the point of physical blows, but this is, you know, in the trenches warfare. And it's going to be fought in the courtrooms. It's going to be fought in the agency department head meetings. It's going to be fought at the agency level and at the White House executive level. But this is absolute governmental combat because you have it's almost like a coup is continuing coup that is going on. And you have liberal, progressive, secularist that have wrestled the federal government from the hands of the American electorate. Now,
yeah.
It just so happens in the past election that we supposedly elected a person who was occupying that office that agreed with much of those federal agencies. But now we have a complete turnaround. We have a complete turnaround, a complete rejection of what it is that these federal agencies represent and what they are trying to accomplish. You know, there's a new sheriff in town, not just about tariffs, but about everything. And no, you're absolutely right. This is a battle that must be won. And this USA aid deal is, I think, a much bigger story than many people realize.
It is one, Lee, and I hope you'll vouch for me here. I have been telling for a very long time.
Oh, absolutely.
I have screamed bloody murder about the fact that most of the violence in the Middle East, the fact that it's on fire is right. Not Joe Biden's weakness. It is the fact
because
we
of what they planned.
Yeah. Yes, and funding terrorists. Funding Hamas. Think about this, okay? Hamas brutally raped women, murdered them, burnt children alive. And we have given them over $1 billion to continue fighting Israel and continue their reign of terror mm-hmm. since October 7th. In fact, there's an internal memo proud of that from inside USAID. This is right here, the beating heart of evil in the world. The Democrat Party built it, and we must tear it down. All right, so anyway, I want to explain how this happened so that you can understand. Because right now, the Washington Post, the New York Times are actually saying some true things about USAID. And that's this. The way that it was meant to work was for regime change. Its charter says that it is to aid the CIA, the State Department, and the president in accomplishing their foreign policy goals. The way it works is they get a big chunk of money. It is deliberately not earmarked by Congress to go to specific places. That way, they can use it. So here's how it works. Suppose there's a Ugandan warlord that's shipping weapons to Mexico, and they're crossing our border and putting everybody at risk. Okay, so the CIA wants to neutralize the warlord. So we go to the leader of Uganda and we go, hey, you know, you got this warlord. We would like you to lock him up or give him to us or whatever. And the head of Uganda says, well, you know, I could do that for you. But, you know, I'm running for re-election. And look, we don't even have running water in the south. And I could really use those votes. How about you build me a, you know, aqueduct system down there for $40 million and I'll give you the warlord. We do this kind of stuff all the time. And we do regime change. We do it well. In fact, we became masters at it in the Cold War era when the CIA and programs that operated like this were used for good. And we went, Ronald Reagan did some of this. Think Iran-Contra. And we're moving money around. We're cutting all kinds of deals. A lot of them are top secret. We need walking around cash to do that. Like I just described, say, in the Uganda example. I don't know that actually happened in Uganda, but this is just what we're talking about. And we used it to stop the spread of communism. It was a real fight. That's why they call it a Cold War. And we effected coups regularly in countries. I mean, we opened fake media outlets, organized fake clinics,
you know, as cover, we overthrew governments to stop the spread of communism around the world. Not, I mean, that's a good thing, right? So the history of it is long. And yeah, some of these projects are actually legitimate. A lot of them are political trades. But then something happened. There's a news host at Fox News wrote a great book about 20 years ago about what was going on under George H.W. Bush's reign at the CIA. Something began to change there. The people that were getting hired, insiders beginning to blow the whistle, were hardcore Marxists. The kind that the CIA and organizations like USAID would have targeted before. The kind of people that the CIA used to overthrow when they were on the verge of taking control of governments, or when they were in government, we would overthrow them in coups to keep the Soviets from spreading communism, getting up the upper hand. Well, the Marxists were inside the building, and it began to go in the opposite direction, and they affected left-wing coups all over the world. One of the key ways they did this, Brazil was one of those, was that they came in a dual program with the Pentagon, the FBI, and USA-backed groups for mass censorship. And that's how they were able to get a lot of these leftist, you know, dictators or practical dictators into these countries, including Brazil, which, again, is a great example of it. Brazil's weird because it was almost exactly what happened here. They had riots in the streets. The populace claimed the election was stolen. They were absolutely censored and shut down and shut up. A lot of those censorship programs are government partnerships, and the partners were all funded by USAID. So they installed a left-wing dictator in places around the world where the Democrats, Barack Obama, and USAID, in partnership with the CIA, cannot install a left-wing dictator. A lot of those are in the Middle East. They are installing terror groups in country after country after country. Libya was given to ISIS. Al-Qaeda just got Syria. That's, by the way, folks, the numbers are out from USAID. Front Page Mag had them. They are staggering. The numbers are much worse than I've even been able to find. Take a listen to this. We've given $3.7 billion to Afghanistan after the Taliban takeover. Folks, do you remember what happened during the Taliban takeover? The Taliban deliberately let the suicide bomber through that killed our 13 troops and Marines. And we rewarded them with $3.7 billion, every dollar of it funneled by USAID. What was that money for? And I've talked about it in previous podcasts, so has Sarah Adams. It's for the Al-Qaeda training camps inside Afghanistan that would ultimately train the troops that would overthrow the Syrian regime with the help of the CIA. So Syria is now run with Al-Qaeda, by Al-Qaeda. And folks, this just came out from USAID. Thank God Elon Musk is in there getting the receipts. We're already beginning to prop Al-Qaeda up. Al-Qaeda is running Syria. Listen to this. $9 million to a Syrian group that is a front for Al-Qaeda. That money ended up being passed to Al-Qaeda. $2 billion since October 7th to the PLO and the terror group Hamas. So that is a billion more than I had even been aware of. They found that running through USAID. So again, you've got Hamas terrorists. Again, a lot of them trained in the Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan. $3.4 billion USAID shoved to Yemen. This is incredible. And again, all of this, thanks to Elon Musk, we're finding all of this out, gave to Yemen, whose Houthi regime we're currently at war with. These are the Houthis, who no one much heard from before. They were herding goats, basically. And then all of a sudden, they had the most modern military hardware. Remember those two Navy SEALs died? And they died interdicting a ship headed for the Houthi regime. It was loaded with hardware from Iran. Well, guess who paid for that? We did. USAID. And folks, 20% of the world's trade traffic had to be rerouted from the Red Sea because all of a sudden you had the Houthis sinking or trying to sink all these trade ships from our allies. And we find out $3.4 billion went to Yemen. And folks, understand something. The Houthis are the military arm. They're a terror group, but they're also the military arm of the Yemen government. And I think this is, folks, why the Biden regime lifted the terror designation off the Houthis, is so they wouldn't be breaking the law when they funneled $3.4 billion to them via USAID. So, you know, what you're seeing here, You could argue are crimes. And so, you know, when the Democrats are hysterical and they're standing outside the USAID office and they're physically trying to get in, this is why. Folks, I'm not kidding. If Satan himself was running an agency of the federal government, I defy you to tell me how it would look different from this. Here's another one. $100 billion for the Taliban. And they must have been joking, earmarked for protecting women and girls. That is literally hilarious. Women under the Taliban are not allowed to speak in public or they'll be flogged. They have to be dressed from head to toe. They're not allowed to go to school. And the liberals inside USAID said, you know what? We love that. We're going to give them $100 million in a special grant earmarked for protecting women and girls. And what do? They send that to NGOs. Well, all the NGOs, those are charitable groups, inside Afghanistan are controlled by the Taliban, or they simply don't exist. They'll kill you. So suppose you're Trump, okay? You want to bring peace back to the Middle East. You want to restore it. You can't if these lunatics down at USAID are making their own foreign policy. And so the reason that the $40 billion budget is given to USAID every year is so that, and it's not earmarked by Congress, is so that the president, as he goes, and the State Department Secretary of State, as they go, and their intel arm, the CIA, can use it however they need to affect change. Well, the position of the people, can you believe 10,000 people work for USAID? No wonder you can't afford groceries. No wonder we have food inflation of 3%, which is still devastating. Why would we print the money for this? 10,000? Well, I mean, this gave me chills. USAID missions overseas are now ordered by Donald Trump to shut down by Friday. Look, he gave them a chance. He gave them orders. They defied him. He's shutting it down. He's got to shut it down or they're going to continue sponsoring terror. And folks, when the catastrophic terror attack happens on our soil, Trump will get to blame and they'll have paid for it. USAID will have literally paid for it. This is a matter of life and death for Americans, but for anybody in the West. Meanwhile, folks, pay close attention to something. Have you noticed the Republicans have gone largely silent? Hats off to Joni Ernst, the Republican senator, usually a moderate, but she has actually spoken up forcefully about this. Have you noticed most of the Republican leadership has gone dead silent? Even conservative voices have gone silent watching this battle because it's not clear yet who has won. And Republicans are very, very scared. They're afraid. And when you see Democrats in the street threatening violence in the street and chanting for Elon Musk to be put in jail, trying to breach the building that he and his engineer team are sleeping in, they've been living there, basically. When you see that, that is legit terrifying. And as we get closer to their crimes, they will get more violent. Here's the chant from yesterday. And keep in mind, Elon Musk is just the guy Trump sent in to get the data they refused to give him.
He has broken the law time and time again. This cannot stand. He must be held accountable. He must be made to pay. We must enforce the law.
That is a Democrat congressman. Jail him, lock him up, lock him up. What law did he violate? Notice the congressman doesn't say because he didn't violate any law. This is simple access to payment data that we are demanding. But this scares Republicans. This is scary stuff. And Elon Musk will go to prison if they don't tame the system. He'll be in the jail cell next to Trump, right? Okay, well, just to give you an idea of why the Democrats are this rabid, did you see this from Breitbart? Final thing, this gives you a small hint of how much money has been stolen from the American people. Biden administration, this is from Breitbart, headline, Biden administration made improper payments to totaling $236 billion in 2023. Okay, as the New York Times reports, Elon Musk has told administration officials that he thinks they could balance the budget if they eliminate the fraudulent payments leaving the system. So Musk has said if we cut $1 trillion in deficit spending a year. That's the money we print. And we simultaneously increase the GDP, size of our economy, by $1 trillion a year. That should all but zero out inflation. We can right the ship. So if we're looking at 2023, and basically it's a quarter of $1 trillion, $236 billion is fraud, we should be able to get there. And I think what you're going to find, and this is why the Democrats look, truly watch their eyes in these videos as they screech and threaten violence in the street. I think they're terrified. I think the Democrat Party is the largest criminal operation on earth, the largest that has ever been. I think they have robbed this country blind. And I think we're going to end up finding that that's where that money went. And I think Musk is not wrong. I think we're going to find that level of fraud. Keep in mind what Musk, again, I'll remind you, said earlier this week in a tweet. He said every hour of every day, Treasury officials are breaking the law by simultaneously contributing money to fraudulent organizations they know are fraudulent and shouldn't be paid, terrorist organizations, wonder if any of them are laundering money for the Democrat Party. And then after that, they are also sending money to people that Congress did not authorize them to send money to. Musk has not put those details out yet, but he is promising within 48 hours, we'll see the first tranche of fraud. Folks, this could change everything. In fact, it'd be like a miracle. But Musk and Trump have to live. No, they're going to try to kill him. This is going to induce a level of desperation and panic. If they weren't trying to kill him, they will now. This right here, if they can do this. And folks, the most important thing, I just want to end with this. Have you noticed with the Democrats, the one thing they've got right that I admire them for, they're standing together in front of these buildings. They're screeching like demons before the cross, but they're standing in front of these buildings together, united, screeching their lies. Where are the Republicans? Musk and his engineers are in those buildings. You know how intimidating that must be? They're calling for violence. Where are the Republicans? There isn't one. What happened to Magic Mike Johnson? Trump's best friend, you know. You heard from him in a few days? Nah, you seen him? Nope. Not a word. Where's Mitch McConnell? Well, Mitch McConnell has always been on the Democrat side. Where's Sean Thune? He's our majority leader. Is he anywhere? No, you haven't seen him. How about Steve Scalise? Folks, even the conservatives are AWOL. They're terrified. They're waiting to see who wins. And it's Elon and Trump against the world. But it used to be just Trump against the world. So this is good. And the Democrats see this, by the way. This encourages them. It's why they're in the streets. They already see, they're like hunting packs of wolves, that they have separated Musk and Trump off from the pack. They smell the weakness. They smell the fear on the part of the Republicans, who, if they would just stick together in a united front, that means going out, being accountable, doing interviews, backing Trump, explaining to the American people, hey, listen, this is why this needs to happen. Explaining what I've just explained. All we want is the payments data. Every American should be able to see it. It should always automatically load onto a website that we can download. It's the beating heart of the Freedom of Information Act. But Republicans are scared and they're selfish and they're not helping. So Trump and Musk have to win this one on their own. But oh, what a difference it'll make if they do.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.